All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Wow. I tell you what, we've had our share of rain and thunder and lightning. Saw a few more trees leaning that weren't leaning yesterday. So looks like there's going to be a little cleanup. So, all right. Before we get started, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this Lord's Day. And Father, as we take time to acknowledge your holiness, to recognize your greatness and your majesty, Father, we do so with an attitude that is, help us to be humble, help us to be grateful. But through our faith, Father, we find the courage to stand firm in our beliefs and not be ashamed of that in which we believe. We are thankful for the opportunity given unto us this morning to be able to dive into your word and to share with one another, to have our hearts opened and receptive to the teaching and the preaching that we will receive today. Father, we are humbled in our expression of gratitude and that unwavering love that you bestowed upon us and shared with us, not only in a keeper of your promises, but in that one sacrifice that was given on our behalf and your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we are always mindful of that sacrifice. And in being mindful, Father, we strive to be good stewards of that which you have given us privilege to. Be the shining, the beacon of light for the world to see that we are truly a different people. Father, we are thankful. And as we petition you throughout this morning for requests on behalf of our family members, our loved ones who are struggling with medical issues, perhaps physical and worldly issues that are a burden on their shoulders, and Father, for those spiritual difficulties that we might be experiencing in our lives, we pray for your guidance, for your understanding, for your protection against the evil one. It is our prayer, Father, that we may always stand ready and prepared to confront those things that pursue us, that we may do so, Father, being confident that we are well grounded in the faith. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son. And as our Lord and Savior mediates on our behalf in heaven, we ask, Father, that he presents these prayers to you, that you will receive them as a fragrant offering. In our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ, amen. All right. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday, so bear with me. I'm going to advance the slides here. What we can catch up. Now we had just finished. There we go. So we'll recap a little bit here. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Submission. And our lesson on this particular prayer is that we need to be honest in our struggles. And it's not so much for God's benefit as it is ours. God knows what's in our heart. He sees there's no petition that we can, you know, barrier that we can put in there that he can't see through. So the honesty is more to ourselves. The more honest we are about ourselves and about our struggles and about our weaknesses when it comes to that involves sin, the benefit is we are stronger and more able to push away from that sin. We are able to more easily see an environment that would put us in sinful harm so that we can avoid that. And so being honest in our struggles actually gives us an advantage in overcoming and saying no to sin. God desires our submission. We see that in the way Jesus conducted himself during this emotional and intimate time where he had to make a decision. Prayer strengthens us and it gives us that strength to obey. Obedience to God in the most difficult times of our situations. That obedience is what gives us the strength to get through those difficult times. We need to align our will with God's, not the other way around. So by aligning ourselves with God, regardless of what the outcome is of our prayer, we can be confident that God has our best interest at heart. And because of that understanding, that gives us a better opportunity to come to an understanding of why it's happening to us if it's outside of that personal request in prayer. So all of these things that we see Jesus dealing with gives us the strength to get through our trials and tribulations and turmoils, knowing that Jesus is an example that we can learn from. Now, Jesus is a little different than you and I because he wasn't a sinner and we are. So the strength we draw from this event in the garden is what encourages us as mortals, as sinners, to move forward. This gives us the courage to forgive ourselves, knowing that we may have done something really bad. So that allows God's grace to come in and take that sin away from us. So at this point, we're going to pick up and I'm going to read starting in verse 47. And this is where things are going to start to change just a little bit. Let's continue, and then I'll pick up on 47. So now Jesus is dealing with a different situation. The weakness of his disciples. Jesus brought three of his closest companions with him to be with him. Why would Jesus want these individuals with him during this time? Why would any one of you want one or two of your best friends with you during a time of spiritual challenge or physical challenge or medical challenges? Why would you want those people with you? Come on, it's not rhetorical. Yeah, to be there. Support. Are we not supposed to be together so that we can edify one another? We're told to rejoice with one another when things are happening that are good, to share that. Well, likewise, you would want somebody with you to help you through these difficult times. Jesus asked three of his closest companions to be with him during this time. Now, they had no idea what Jesus was getting ready to deal with. So we'll give them a little bit of a margin of error here. But let's see how they actually did or didn't accomplish what Jesus wanted them to do. The disciples' weakness. Jesus finds them sleeping how many times? Three times. And he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What does that say about good intentions? Everybody's got them. Yeah, everybody's got in good intentions. But the proof is in what? your actions. Your proof is in what you accomplish in relation to the good deed that you were thinking of, whether it was in your heart or in your head. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. The road is paved to hell with good intentions. Yes, it is. So we see not only Jesus' human nature, but we see the human nature of just regular men. I'm going to go back to verse 36, and it says, then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is extremely sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch for me. Okay, so Jesus hasn't told them exactly what's going to happen, but he's told them about his condition. He's told them that I am extremely troubled. That's why you guys are here. So be over here. I'm going to go over here. You would think there would have been a red flag that came up and they would have gone like, well, this is pretty serious. Maybe we ought to pay attention. But let's see what happens. He went a little further and fell on his face and praying said, oh, my Father. And we've already talked about that, how he addressed his Father by saying, oh, my Father. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away praying, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and he found, what? Them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. I've been there before. Closing this one thinking, okay, give me 10 seconds and I'll close this one and it'll shake it off. It doesn't happen. So he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? For heaven's sakes. Behold, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Do you think he was a little frustrated? Did you hear tone? I mean, it wasn't like it was a 24-hour vigil. Now, I know it was late. It may have been past their bedtime, but here is one of your closest friends, and the three of you combined couldn't keep each other awake or in prayer on behalf of Jesus to see him through this. So what should the disciples been doing? Discussing how they were going to be able to support him in this time of need, not knowing exactly what it was. Being in thoughtful, heartfelt prayer on behalf of Jesus. Saying whatever he's anticipating or whatever he's going through, give him the strength to get through it. Give us the strength to be supportive of him during this time. Or that unknown variable, praying whatever this burden is on Jesus' shoulders, give us all the strength to get through this. They were weak. They were subject to those surroundings, the darkness, the heaviness, the lack of sleep, whatever that might be. And they succumbed to it. So we see Jesus finds them sleeping and is not very happy, probably disappointed. Even the closest disciples struggle with weakness. So what does that tell us about us? Is our weakness uncommon? No. Our weakness is just the nature of our being. But like we said earlier, if we're aware of our weaknesses, that in itself gives us strength. Because we know where those weaknesses are. We know what we have to do to get stronger in those times of weakness so that we can be the ones to say no to temptation. Spiritual vigilance is necessary, especially in times of trials. When we're confronted with situations that are heavy on our shoulders and pushing us down on our knees, is that a time to run? To retreat? Or is that the time to dig in? Read our Bible. Those trials and tribulations that are put on our plate are there for a reason. So that we may keep ourselves sharp and at the ready. Because I tell you right now, the time that we come to an understanding where we think we've got it all beat and we're in a good position, Katie, bar the door, because something could drop in front of us that will rock our world. And if we're not well grounded in the scripture, no matter who we are or how old we are, our spiritual foundation could have cracks. So it's at that time that we buckle up. And as Donnell knows, when that fire bell rings, it's not time to go to the bathroom. You got to pull on those boots, tighten your jacket, get on that truck and go where? Straight to work. Face that enemy. That's the way we need to be. That's the way we need to be ready. That's the way our spiritual armor has to be shiny. Our sword has to be sharp all the time. Because that devil is out there prodding and poking and looking for a weak spot. And the moment that we are at our most vulnerable position is when he gets in there and he starts working his little evilness, causing us to stumble. So spiritual vigilance is necessary, especially in the times of trials. That's the time that you need to be in church. That's the time that you need to be with your brothers and sisters for strength, support, and encouragement. That's the times that you need to be in the Bible reading scriptures. You may not know what scripture you need to read, but you just crack it open. And you might be surprised what it tells you. Donnell? He tells us that, doesn't he? He says, I want to help. I am there. You guys just got to knock on the door and say hello. He does not want anybody to perish. So how do we grow from this example? How many of us are in a position where we don't have to grow anymore? We're there. We're at the finish line. Well, I'm pleased to see I don't see any hands. There was always opportunity for growth. Always. Always. Focus on our personal commitment in developing our relationship with God. Are any of you who are still with your spouses today ever completely done knowing your spouse? No. No. And that's the nature and the pleasantness of that mystery. There's always still something there, the two of us, that we can learn together. Our relationship with God is the same way. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for developing and growing that intimate relationship, just making it that much stronger. Strengthening our faith and our obedience. When we come down to that point when we're on our knees and we're praying and we see how Jesus, even asking for that cup to be taken from him, in the end, his obedience to his Father was paramount. And we see what the result was. Let thy will, not mine. The only way we're going to have that kind of obedience to God is knowing who he is and developing that relationship. So that's why being in the Bible is something that should never stop for us. We must remain watchful in prayer and resist temptation. That relationship we have with God that we're developing and we're nurturing and we're growing all the time is only done through the avenue of prayer. Now, we can read about him. All the scripture that we have, we can read and read and read. But if we're not talking to him in prayer, that's just a superficial line that if we don't cross, we're never really going to get to know who God is. We've got to engage in prayer. We've got to have those quiet moments where we are still and just listen. Let me tell you, and that's not an easy place to get to. It takes work. It takes commitment. And without those challenges in our lives, we don't really have a grasp on how important that relationship is. So that's why we have challenges. That's why we are put in the fire to harden us, so that we can have that hope and that faith to say no to temptation and sin. So the disciples' weakness we see was very evident, not just once, not just twice, but three times. Be sober and be vigilant, 1 Peter 5:8. Wake from the sleep and cast off the works of darkness, Romans 13:11-14. There's other scriptures, probably some a little bit more focused than what I picked out here. But the idea is there's always an opportunity for us to strengthen our relationship with God. The sad thing is the three individuals that Christ had asked to be with him in the garden, not only were they not any help or support, but they were perhaps a small disappointment. And not only was he busy taking care of himself, but he had to deal with that situation as well. The thing that the apostles, these three individuals, as close as they were to Jesus, to where Jesus considered them his closest friends, they still missed the mark. They still didn't truly understand what was happening, what was getting ready to happen. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to read a couple of verses. So at the end of the third time, he then came to his disciples and said to them, "You are still sleeping, resting. Behold, the hour is at hand. Christ knew what was coming. And it was at this very moment where he reached the point of no return. NASA uses that when they launch a rocket, and there's a period of time in which the rocket is accelerating, trying to break through the atmosphere, and it's a go, no-go point. Where up to this point, they might be able to change if it doesn't look like the rocket's going to make it into space. But then once they cross that barrier, there's no return. They're up in space and they're heading to complete the mission. This is Jesus Christ's moment. This is a moment where what's coming is coming. There's no changing it. There's a moment of reality in which whatever we're confronting with, we know whatever means to an end is at hand. And Jesus is at that point. And I can kind of see Jesus standing up, shaking his cloak, brushing himself off, redressing himself, squaring himself up. He looks at his disciples and he's like, come on. And he turns around and he squares up in anticipation of this mob who is just around the corner. And that's at that moment that Jesus squares up to the enemy, as we're instructed to, with faith and hope, strength, courage. And he says, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. This is where Jesus' obedience to God, now he's following through. After Jesus' prayer, after the conclusion and the understanding of what is going to be asked of him in fulfilling the promise that God gave, he squares up his shoulders and he says, here we go. Jesus shows his strength, his courage, his faith in his Father, the faith in his commitment to obey his Father. 2 Samuel 10:12 says, be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. As Jesus moves forward, we see the example of confidence, the example of reassurance. And in Jesus' case, he's not doing this as a sinner, but he's doing this as a Savior. He can see what the benefits are for mankind by fulfilling his obligation to the promise that God had made about sending a Savior. This is where we're thankful. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is what we should be mindful of. This is the moment that we need to be reflecting on, or one of several anyway. Because without this, without that sacrifice on the cross, the cross itself would still represent humiliation, shame, dishonor, and we wouldn't have the hope that we have today. See, my betrayer is at hand. Did Jesus stand back from the disciples and kick them in the arena and say, "You go tell them I'm over here"? No. He went up to him face to face, knowing that this individual that was going to betray him was going to do it with what? A kiss. And how personal and how intimate is a kiss? If that wasn't a slap in the face, it wasn't with a big old sign with an arrow saying, "There he is." It wasn't up there going up there shaking his hand. It was with a kiss. Jesus faced his enemies. Jesus faced his suffering head on, willingly, because of his relationship with God. We see trust, we see faith, and we see strength in those two that gives him the confidence of obedience to God's will. That's what we develop in ourselves when we have this relationship with God. Our faith is well grounded. That trust is unwavering. And our obedience is without question. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, as feeble, weak human beings, this task can be very, very difficult. And we can't do it without that intimate relationship with God. Even at our best relationship with God, it's still a struggle. But we do have advantage. We've got God on our side. After being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Philippians 2:8. Let me pick up on verse 47. And while he was speaking, still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Our Lord and Savior, of all of that he did in that short period on earth for mankind, is betrayed by one of the most intimate engagements of human beings with a kiss. And yet Jesus maintains his faith, his trust, and his obedience. This is what gives us encouragement. By reading these scriptures and seeing these examples, in our darkest hour, in our lowest moment, in that point in time when our humanity is exposed and we are at our most vulnerable in weakness, if we reflect on the scriptures, if we remember these teachings and these prayers, and we have that communal relationship with our God in prayer, this is what gives us strength to get through and to overcome temptation. Jesus shows his humanity in his perfect submission to God on the cross. Prayer is our connection to God, especially in times of suffering, in times of difficulty, in times of financial hardships, in times of emotional upheavals. Those spiritual moments when we have a question, those spiritual moments where we may have a doubt, those spiritual moments where we may be stuck in the muck, in the mire, and so overwhelmed that we don't even know what to ask for. God has given us the Holy Spirit here on earth to walk this spiritual walk, to help us glean knowledge and strength from the Scriptures and understanding, to speak on our behalf in moments when we struggle. That is our mediator here on earth. God has also given us His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sits on His right hand and mediates for us in heaven. When we ask God to hear our prayers, and we are a faithful individual or a faithful people, those prayers are submitted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on our behalf, He presents those prayers to God. And as we pray, we always hope and pray that God receives our prayers. Jesus did that for us. Jesus gave us that hope. Jesus provided us with that example. Even sincere disciples, even those with the best intentions, struggled. So we must be watchful and at the ready. We must be able to recognize when we struggle. We must know ourselves well enough to know when we are susceptible to falling to temptation. We need to be honest and well and honest with us enough to know where our weak points are when it comes to temptation. All of us in this room are subject to temptation, but not all of us have the same weaknesses to temptation. Could be gambling. Could be drinking. Could be smoking. Could be ribeye steaks. They talk to me. I tell you what. I can hear them in the refrigerator. Yes. Could be candy. I mean, we the weaknesses of the flesh. We could go on and on and on and on. But if we have blinders on and we try to just say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I just don't have the capacity to deal with it, that's where we get in trouble. Because that's when we find ourselves in the situations where we're not supposed to be in. Or if we deny it and we say, like the guy who smokes, he just you know, I only have one after dinner. But somehow he's able to smoke 4 or 5 packs a week, if not more. Oh, it's not really a habit. I can stop any time. But every week he's buying 3 or 4 cartons at the grocery store. If we have denial and we don't face our weaknesses, we find ourselves in trouble. If we know ourselves like God knows our heart, that gives us the strength to overcome and to avoid those opportunities of temptation. Donnell?
We have to be mindful of the enemy because he never stops, he's relentless. So if I conquer one, he pops up another.
Yeah.
Down to my thoughts.
Yes.
That's
yeah. And I think as human nature, we have two vulnerabilities. We get complacent when it comes to our vigilance when things are going good and sailing and smooth. And man, we haven't had a wrinkle, no speed bumps or anything. Or if we lack the faith, we lack the trust, we don't have that intimate relationship with our God, and the world comes crashing down around our ears, the first thing we say is, why has God forsaken me? Why has God done this? What have I done to deserve this? We have to be careful that we don't find ourselves in that position. Obedience to God's will is not always easy, but always right. Sometimes we wish it'd probably be pretty easy. There's a saying, and it may be in other industries, but if something's going on a frac site or something like this, and everything's going good and nothing's broke, nothing's exploding or something like this, the guys say, man, we sure needed that one. A guy needs a good day every once in a while. But more so than not, we're going to have some speed bumps. We're going to have some rough moments. We're going to have a rough road. That's where we need to be prepared. Meditate on our own Gethsemane moments, because we're going to have them. We probably already had some. And how we deal with that determines how stronger we come on the other side of that. And let me tell you, even when you don't think somebody's looking, people are looking. And if they have some idea of what you went through and you come out and you're strong and you're confident, you're not wearing sackcloth and oh is me and going around pouting and, you know, dragging that left leg. But you're squared up and you're standing, you're looking good and you're taking care of yourself. That's the Christian God wants us to be. That's the beacon of light he wants the world to see. That's what he's talking about when he says we are a different people. I hope you found this rewarding. I hope you found some things here that you may have not been exposed to or had considered in the past. My challenge as a teacher to this group is trying to find something that you all haven't already found or been exposed to, and so that the class itself, you know, may not have put too many people to sleep. So thank you all for your time in this class, and it was a pleasure and an honor to be here to be before you to teach this. You got a minute and 30 seconds to... Second Samuel, that was, let me go back here so I get it to you exactly.
Is he talking about Jesus?
Let me, ten, 12, yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you all very much.